Good evening everyone and welcome to the full town council meeting number 3 this year. Agenda item number 1 is apologies for absence. Jo, do we have any apologies for absence?
We've got apologies from Councillor Eakin.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 2, declarations of interest. Does anybody have any declarations of interest they wish to declare this evening?
Councillor at Cheshire West, item 7.
Okay, thanks Lucy. Agenda item number 3, approval of the minutes. So these are to approve and sign the minutes of the full town council meeting held on the 24th of July. I wasn't able to attend that, so Richard, you chair.
I've read them and they seem where they are a true reflection of what I'm.
Okay, is everyone happy that attended?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can approve those. I'll just quickly sign in these for Jo. Item 4 is standing orders, so we're resolving to suspend standing orders for agenda items 5, 6 and 7 to enable reps from Cheshire West and Chester Council and members of the public to take part in those items. And hopefully the police will be joining us. So agenda item 5 is our policing report. So we have received a written report from Neil Flanagan, that's been circulated prior to the meeting, and we were going to welcome Sergeant James Dingsdale to the meeting, and I think some questions we'd already put forward that we wanted to raise with him. Can I defer that item, Jo, in case they do attend? They may obviously have a shout to mm-hmm. go to.
So can I ask why Flanagan doesn't turn up, though? At the meetings.
He does. He usually comes to every meeting.
Yeah, but I've been to 2 meetings, he's not been.
Well, no, I do know he's on holiday, because I went to his police surgery the other day and he said he wouldn't be here tonight, he was going off on holiday.
I'll catch him next time.
Thanks, Judith. Okay, I'll move on to agenda item number 6 then. And if we do get Sergeant James Dingsdale, then we can revert back to item 5. So this is request for members of the public to speak. I know we do have some members of the public with us this evening. Would anyone like to speak on any item?
I'm working with Richard at the moment for the Christmas festival. Mm-hmm. Hello, Richard. Hi. So yeah, it's about the artisan. I've also got the market on the same day. We just want to say if this is going to be a conflict of interest for us to do in the Christmas festival. Because we have markets on the street, as you well know, as well as the parade and everything like that. Are the artisan market going to be down here in Castle Park, or are they going to be on the street? This is what we want to know.
Not this year.
Well, definitely not this year, because artisan market is not starting till next year.
Okay.
We're going to start in February 24.
Okay.
And what we need to do is get together with you and the festival group, just
okay.
to understand, because it will take place on the last Saturday of every month, and obviously that potentially there will be a clash
yeah.
with the Christmas festival, so we just need to understand how we can either work together
yeah definitely
to do that and incorporate both the arts and mask market and the Christmas festival.
Okay.
So we'll need to have some dialogue with you about that.
No problem with that, that's absolutely fine. It's just there's a lot of people panicking about it at the moment, you know what I mean? As it's sent in.
So yeah, not this year, but yeah, we'll have some time for next year.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Can I just chip in here as well? There was some talk about a market. I mentioned to Joe earlier before the meeting started that some people are thinking, I'm right in thinking this, Richard, that because Castle Park has an event on the same day,
yeah.
that is that clashing and can that not be brought together?
I'm not aware of any event taking part.
You mean
in
at
Castle
the
Arts
Centre?
Yes.
They always do something
always
near
do
to coincide with the Christmas festival.
Yeah, yeah.
They always have done.
Right, right. And is it's never been a conflict of interest
no,
then?
No, 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 we don't.
I think some people on the festival committee.
The manager here, I can't remember, I think Kim usually gets involved with the working group. Now, she hasn't this time, I don't know why, but yes, we have always coordinated that. It's just an extra place for people to come to while they're waiting for the parade to start.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think the only problem was last year because we had that gas leak on the chip. And then everything got.
That's right.
All the lights got turned off here, so everything got moved across to us on the other side of town, of the village, sorry.
Yeah.
Is it town now? We're going for a town, so right. But I get shouted at all the time on this one. So we're moving it across over there. That was the other drama with that one. It's never been a drama before, so.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right.
So when would you like to have a face-to-face then?
If we get in contact with you and then we can have some discussion, whatever suits you, we can do that.
So if you liaise through me and then...
We'll do that through Richard then, is
excellent.
That all right?
That's great, thank you so much.
Perfect, cheers. No problem, you're welcome.
No problem.
And Fiona?
I wanted to ask about the videos. Am I able to do that in advance of you discussing it?
Yes.
Of course,
yes, of course, it's public speaking time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'd quite like to know a little bit about the decision-making process and why councillors have decided that this would be beneficial to Frodsham.
We haven't decided that yet. That's why it's on the agenda this evening.
How do you think it will improve business in Frodsham? Who are your target audience? Because Frodsham, as people have said in the past, has a higher threshold than other areas of older people. So I wonder what research you carried out to explain the desire or need for it. I'd like to know which other towns use this service, how many subscribers they have, who initiated the response. That approach, was it you to them or vice versa? And who else, which other towns have used it and what's the success rate?
Okay, I don't have all the answers to those questions, Vicky of her own accord came and did a video about the Greengates Park and posted it online, and that's how it came to our attention. And we just had a meeting to see what we needed to do for Frodsham, to promote Frodsham. I think we do hide ourselves under a bushel sometimes, and it's an understanding about what we might want to do moving forward to promote more of what Frodsham has to offer, both for residents, for local businesses and for visitors as well. So it's just an initial introduction to do we want to do something that promotes Frodsham, that promotes everything Frodsham has to offer, promoting our local businesses, promoting independent businesses, and also promoting our community groups as well.
It's just that, I know we've discussed the community newsletter idea.
Yes.
And it could some be of the comments have been about the cost of it. Mm-hmm. So it'd be useful to be able to compare the cost of a largely online but designed monthly newsletter with hard copies available for the 10%, 20% offline population. That could be put in key places that you would be able to pick up, like here, for example. The cost of that compared to video where there might be restricted coverage if you don't use online. And also, people who aren't online anyway, the 20%, would never come across it.
Yeah.
So, and I think also there's a thought about how much it costs to create a sort of hub building where you could have a variety of facilities, but also maybe have zero rent or very low rent for new businesses to give them like a 12-month lead-in to seeing how they might be able to operate and function. And those might be more independent businesses might bring people to Frodsham because of their uniqueness. Because we are seeing some businesses are quite repetitive now, but quite a few tattoo artists, quite a few bars, hairdressers, and lots of coffee shops. So it might be good to try and attract younger businesses who can't afford the business rent or rates even.
Exactly.
As well. So that's just the thought.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely perfect. Those are the things we want to explore and have some dialogue about how can we promote Frodsham, how can we promote Frodsham in terms of inclusivity and getting kind of new businesses other businesses into Frodsham as well, so we've got a vibrant high street. I think one of the things that we've spoken about previously is about what we can do to promote our high street, to encourage businesses to set up here, particularly independent businesses and different types of businesses as well.
And a lovely little place in Anglesey, in Beaumaris, where they have Iconal Church, and they've made that into two level and lots of little businesses. They can all, a bit like AK's, but in the centre of town.
Yeah.
But, you know, all different grants and what have you. And I imagine that'd be much cheaper for them. But we do have some opportunities in the centre of Frodsham.
Smashing. Thank you. Well, I can't answer all of your questions because we can't. We're going to start that dialogue. But please do stay and listen to that dialogue. I think there's lots of things we can explore. But one of the items would be potentially that may come into a form of a new. It's fully inclusive for everybody. Okay. You're welcome.
Can I just mention I'm here because Speedwatch is on the agenda.
Item 15, okay. So I think that's it's a Cheshire West.
It's a Cheshire West initiative,
so, but yeah, okay. When we come to that, I might stop standing orders again if we need to ask any questions. But thank you. Okay, so moving us on to agenda item 7, which is our Cheshire West and Chester councillors. We have received a written report that's previously been circulated by Lucy and Mike. So, assuming councillors have read that report, I wonder if there are any questions that we might want to raise with either Lucy or Mike. I do have one question, and it's to do with the Castle Park Trust, and I know you've kind of included a brief summary in there. My question is about what we can do about maintaining the building, so in particular we've got the conservatory that's in quite a state of disrepair at the moment. I just wonder if there's anything that can be done about completing the necessary repairs on that before it becomes even more dilapidated.
Do you want me to answer that one?
Yeah, go for it.
I think you're quite right to raise those concerns. It's something that Lucy and I have raised ever since we first were elected and sat on the trust. The last meeting ran out of time to cover it in detail, and the concerns that Lucy and I have are that because it's been allowed to drift into such an awful state over many, many years, that the kind of cost involved in bringing it back into use may be prohibitive, which is a huge shame because it's really been down to the neglect of making decisions to get it fixed and repaired, because it does form part of it, or an integral part of Castle Park, not only the house but the grounds themselves. And so I know on the next Castle Park Trust meeting, which is the 12th of October, we are making sure that that is an item which is fully covered and dealt with. And to be quite honest, what Lucy and I have been told by the officers, and this kind of gives you an indicator of what their feelings are, if you want to take us to task and tell us we have been wrong, do so. And I think they know how we feel, because I do think they've been wrong in allowing it to drift. So now what we've got to look for, or look at, is the cost to bring it back into use. A number of quotes have been obtained by various specialist contractors, and what each of them said is, we don't really want to give you a quote, because when we start this job and look at what we can see needs to be done, when we start looking at what needs to be done, we then unearth an awful lot more problems. So it's a question, is this an open-ended checkbook? And it's probably not something that anyone would want to go down. But we are alive to that, and we are addressing it. And it has literally just been allowed to fall into neglect, and it's shocking.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking up that, because it is, I mean, quite a number of people kind of do say how poor it's looking, and it's such a shame. But I appreciate there's a cost implication here as well.
And when we have further dialogue with any of these contractors, we'll be able to kind of kind of get a better perspective of what can and can't be done as well, because it's definitely on our, within our eyesight, isn't it?
Brilliant.
Now, I know we've got no questions, but can I cover a couple of things that we've said?
Obviously, I know the budget shortfall for the council this year. What impact is that going to have on the potholes and for things like Brio in terms of budget specifically?
Right, okay. The potholes still has a budget. It's not the biggest budget in the world to fix everything, but they are slowly getting fixed. One of the challenges that Cheshire West face, and I don't want this to appear as if I'm trying to defend Cheshire West in their decision making, but there was a previous subcontractor who had responsibility for fixing the potholes and road defects who didn't fulfil their contractual obligations. That contract came to an end. There was a handover period at a time when a lot of the potholes started to emerge, and there is a new company called Colas has taken over the contract. And they are doing a really good job at getting around the whole borough, getting things fixed, and we are getting there. The challenge is, and it's something that Lucy and I, we raised it in full council about the fact that you can have a road where there's perhaps, say, four potholes. They'll come along, close the road, fix one, and leave the others, and then close the road again. And that's got to be rectified, that. Now, the highways department are alive to this, and they are reviewing the whole structure of the way the potholes are taken. The other thing which is interesting to deal with the state of the potholes and the general nature and unkept feeling that we have around Frodsham is that there's a new chief executive been appointed called Del Curtis, and she wishes to change the culture within the council of operating within silos. So highways do highways, and that's our budgets, and that's what we do. Environmental, we do the grass cutting and the verges, and that's what we do. To have a more coordinated approach. So yes, highways still do the highways, but they'll actually speak to environment and get things done together. And an example I will give of that is that there was a drain blocked by the nursery on the A56, and it was caused by a load of mud coming in on farmers' fields. So highways went along, unblocked the drain, lifted all the mud and the silt, and dumped it on the side of the road. It's not their responsibility to clear the mud away. It's environment, and they didn't talk to one another. So for the next 2 weeks, that mud, well, we know where it went, it washed down the drains. So it's an improvement in the culture and the things to tackle all of these issues. In terms of the budgets for Frodsham, we've raised the issue about budgets and how much is going to be spent on Frodsham, and the council operates under a scheme where there's not a budget for Frodsham and there's not a budget for the likes of Kingsley, or a budget for Helsby, or it's a borough-wide budget. And so really what's incumbent upon Lucy and I is to have that loud voice for Frodsham and say, come and get things done. And I think that's what we're hopefully trying to achieve and get things done over a period of time. It's not as if one weekend there's going to be a magic group of people come along and fix everything, but we are going to get there, and you know it's going to take a little period of time. But eventually the potholes with Colas, we're looking at other issues such as pavements, particularly on the Lakes Estate where they're very uneven and wobbly. We're looking at trying to get those fixed and so on, and building into a programme of works to try and improve the areas generally all over.
Oh, and with regard to Brio, Mike and I met with Anna Ranger, and we're looking at the A56 corridor report. There is still £1 million earmarked for that project, and we're going to be working with members of the public to kind of sound out what people want and progress that project. So there is still going to be investment at Brio. It's not closing. There were really good statistics around the amount of people that are using Frodsham Leisure Centre, and it's actually very well used. So there's no plans at all to be wanting to close it down. So we really just want to...
Oh, it was about closing.
Yeah.
I was just going back to your point there, Mike, on the potholes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could just ask on my behalf to the council. In Frodsham, they'll fix the one potholes, as you say. But if you were to have a look at Ashton Hayes, they've resurfaced about half a mile of the road. So why would Ashton Hayes get that and we don't?
Right, okay.
As an example.
Yeah, how I'll answer that is a bit of a guesswork answer. because of the nature of some of the roads. As I say, Colas are this new company, and what they're looking to do, and this is where there will be highways geeks amongst our residents who will understand all of this. There are four different types of machine to fix a pothole, and Colas want to know which one is going to be the best for Frodsham. So they've got on hire the four different types, and they're doing periods of research. So there's one set of piece of machinery which is great for potholes in the middle of a road, as we know, as a carriageway. There is another machine that is good for doing countrified lanes where the edges of the road have deteriorated. And so one's good for one, there's another one good for that one. And very often, and it could well be, and I'm not saying this is the case, it could well be, they've taken that road in Ashton Hayes and said, we'll trial that and see how it works for that piece of machinery. Because
that's a lovely job they've done with it.
It's very frustrating to me. And I'll give you an example, Netherston Drive. Netherston Drive, the road service has deteriorated. It's not potholes, it's just the service has crumbled away. And so we got in touch with Highways, and they said, oh, we've examined that early this year. And I said, listen, could you just go out again, to get an inspector to go out again? Because it looks shocking. And I sent a series of photographs in a report, and they, you know, fair enough, they sent another Highways engineer out and said, no, it's not deteriorated enough. That will be done in the natural wear and tear programme, which is about 2 years from now. And I'm thinking, gosh, it just needs to be. And I chose that road because it was quite obvious, but there are a number of roads like that around Frodsham. They just need to get on and get it done. And we've just got to keep the pressure on them. And that's all we can do. Lucy and I, and this is where I say, what you do as Frodsham Town Council, it's incumbent upon you to actually, I was going to say complain and moan then, but it's not. It's raise the awareness of the issues and concerns that you have on behalf of your constituents. Raise them to Lucy and I, and we will raise them to the officers. It's only by doing that that we will get solutions. And I don't mind you emailing me all the time. And in fact, if any of you have got any concerns, on our report is mine and Lucy's email. Drop me an email with any of your residents' concerns, and then together we can just push it. We will just push it, and we can push it, and that's the only way we're going to get things done. And as Lucy says, the Library and Leisure Centre, there were some rumours floating around about, oh, it's going to close because they've changed the opening hours. We think that was because of a little bit of staff shortage, and we know there's £1 million, and people have been saying, oh, that £1 million, is that going to be spent on the whole of the A56 Leisure Corridor? Does it go to Runcorn Rowing Club and down to Helsby? No, that money is for that leisure, and it's the Library and Leisure Centre complex. Mm. One thing Lucy and I did when we first started, and I think Fiona was there at the meeting, and we decided this is, because we had a discussion, this is going to be the Library and Leisure Centre complex. It's not just leisure, it's about all things to do with that. The Rural Town Regeneration Board, which is mentioned on the report, I listened very much to what Fiona's ideas were, the ideas and suggestions that she's made about it. I've listened to about things about the artisan markets, the ideas about the Christmas festival and how we can all work together. And I think they're very, very important. And I think that's how we can get things done and how we can get investment in the town centre. And I think Fiona's suggestion about having a hub, I think it's wonderful. And I think these are the things that we, Lucy and I, as Cheshire West councillors, need to work with yourselves to try and get the investment in some of these buildings, how we can go about it. I was elected to the council in May, and you start to find your feet, and you start to find out where all these little pots of money are. Some of them were a bit too late because you've got to put a plan, a feasibility study, you've got to have an idea what you want to spend the money on. You can't just go in and say, you know, give us £20,000 because I want to do this. You've got to have it costed, and you've got ideas that have developed. And this is what we can do going forward, because some of the ideas, Lucy and I will steal everyone's ideas. We won't pass them off as our own, we'll pass them off as the community ideas, because Frodsham is full of great ideas and it's full of really good people. Dealing with the other things, I think I said we'd give a verbal update on. I think we probably...
Oh, there was the walk around that happened.
Oh yes, it was the walk. Week. It was the walk around last week. We called people from the Environmental Services and we've had a walk around. And we've got to try and prioritise areas which we need to do first. So what's been prioritised significantly are three key areas. One is the entrance to Castle Park when you come onto the A56 and all of the weeds that are growing in the verges and the trees and bushes that are overgrowing onto the road. That's a real danger too. We're trying to encourage school children particularly to use their bicycles and walk to school, and yet when they drive along that road or cycle along that road, they're forced out into the carriageway and it's very, very dangerous. So that's the number one priority there. The second priority is the rock and all the weeds that are growing from literally outside Morrison's all the way up. And you can take it all the way up past the garage as well, past the Chinese Delight. But the area around the rock is going to be done. That's going to be, so in terms of priority, Castle Park first, then the rock. And the rock will involve road closures. And then thirdly is the basal tree growths along both Main Street and also Fluid Lane, and that's going to be programmed in into part of the winter works within highways to get them tidy, because it doesn't take much, but it'll make such a vast difference to Frodsham. And when we're looking at trying to get businesses to invest in Frodsham and the High Street, Church Street and all of that, if it looks nice and feels nice, it will be nice, it will attract businesses.
Can I just challenge you just on one question?
Yeah.
When you were saying about the rock, I don't think it'd actually be a road closure, would it? It'd be a lane closure.
Okay, but
all I'm saying is a road closure gives the impression that that's the heritage shut down and
it would be a lane closure.
Yeah.
And that's for the safety of the people who are doing it.
Yeah, of course.
And I think the point that's made, and there's many people in this room will be aware of it, 4 or 5 years ago they had to do the same because of the damage that was being done to the sandstone. So the points that Lucy and I made were, listen, that cost an awful lot of money last time. You did it all, which is great, and now you've just neglected it, and it's getting back again. We need ongoing maintenance, so come back and do it again. Yes, get that done, but have an ongoing maintenance. Don't just spray it and walk away, let the weeds die. Spray it if you need to, but then come and clear it afterwards. So that's in hand. And again, what we've got to do is keep the pressure on them. So keep the pressure on Lucy and I, and we'll keep the pressure on the officers.
Brilliant.
This new little bus that is getting very popular, still a lot of people who are not online don't know about it, but the big question on social media this week is about people getting to COVID clinics for their injections, because we're not having a clinic in Frodsham. I know the wellness bus is coming to 3 Mondays, which will be limited. But when you go on the app to booking point, the nearest place they're sending you to is in Runcorn. And we've been told, no, you can't use that little iPad to go out of the borough. Is that the case?
Can you make
a case for people to, you know, can take a busload of people to Remedy in Runcorn to get the jab?
I think it's likely that that is the case, but it is something that we could raise.
The alternative is to find, say, a clinic up in Northwich that people could go.
I don't think the bus goes to Northwich, does it?
It goes around the borough.
Yeah, but I don't think it goes to Northwich.
It's more of a small place in the countryside where it's not profitable for a regular bus service to be running.
Yeah,
it has
to go to Northwich
because I know where... There's a group of special needs kids.
It's not coordinated for people who don't have transport to go on and get the COVID jab. We want to encourage them to do that, not make it difficult for them.
Exactly. I think there's two things we can do there. Lucy and I can send an email to Cheshire West, the officers, and also involve the cabinet portfolio holder for health and wellbeing. And also we can raise the community partnership meetings that we have with the local Frodsham, Helsby, Elton GP practices.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so important. It just seems, I don't understand, and I think the way I'll couch the questions, I don't understand why GP surgeries are not running COVID clinics. I'm booked into my flu jab at the Knob on the 4th of October. And when I booked it, I thought, it hasn't mentioned the COVID. I wonder if I'll get them both at the same time.
This is it. I went to Remedy in Runcorn this morning, and they moved to by the Mersey Flow offices.
Yeah.
And you can have them. They offered me a flu jab, and I said, no, I've already had that. So I just got the COVID jab. They had an appointment system, but they were taking people and just
it's a good point, and I think the COVID clinic, and just having that bus come and park on the car park of the Knoll on 3 Mondays, it's not enough.
They've already said that the number of vaccines will be limited.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I just bring Fiona in to make one point on this item?
No, actually, some pop-up clinics in Frosham. There's some in the car park on the Living Well bus starting next week, and the King's Church is running clinics which should just drop in on the 10th.
Okay.
And the 24th. So the whole on the Frosham page, there's a whole set of clinics, which is great.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Right, sorry, took a bit of time.
Over 65s only.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much, Mike, and thank you,
Lucy. Well, if anyone, obviously these written reports are a fairly new thing. If anyone's got any suggestions how we can improve them, I'd love to hear from you.
Brilliant. They're just having a written report at the moment. It's amazing. Thank you. So, agenda item number 8, which is standing orders, I'm going to resolve to reinstate standing orders for the following items on the agenda. So that's agenda item number 9, which is the accounts. So there are a number of items here. So to note, expenditure in month number 5 was £149,154.46. £125,000 of that was spent on the Greengates Community Park. To note, income was £1,995.26. A balance on the Co-op Income Access account as at the 31st of July was £25,442.63. And the balance on the Co-op Community account on the 31st of August was £33,561.63. The balance on the CCLA account on the 31st of August was £253,128.83. If you've all reviewed the accounts pack, are you happy for me to sign?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, I'll do that now. Is this all pages, Joe?
Yes.
And dated?
It's 25th.
Yeah. I do. Councillor Lowry checked the accounts for the bank reconciliation statements on the 14th of September, and there were no discrepancies there then.
No.
Great. Can we approve a councillor to check the September 23 bank statement against bank reconciliation reports on a date to be agreed? Would anybody like to do that?
I don't want to.
Bernie?
No.
Okay. That would be great. Thanks, Bernie. Agenda item number 10 is the local council award scheme, and I'm very proud that Frosham Town Council has been awarded the foundation award, and the team are going to continue to work towards the next level, which will be the quality level. And again, I think this just demonstrates the commitment towards the continued improvement for the benefit of the community of Frosham. And I'd like to extend thanks to Joe, Lindy and Liz for all your efforts in getting that foundation award.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 11, these are councillors' allowances. So these are all just to note. So Frosham Town Council makes no provision for allowances. It does make provision for reimbursement of expenses accrued in advance of any expenditure. Members attending training courses or other events which the council has requested they attend will have travel expenses reimbursed. Mileage will be reimbursed according to the HMRC approved rates, which currently stand at 45 pence per mile. Councils are advised to check with their insurers as to whether they are covered for travel on council business. And the council accepts no liability for any loss, accident, damage or claim arising out of any journey that you make on council business. Okay.
Hello, can I just make a point on that?
You can.
I think for any of us that represent more than one council, it should be explicit that we can only claim from one council. Because I represent Kingsley as well, and I wouldn't want to be accused by anyone that I might be double claiming. So I'd just like it to be made explicit.
We can do that. Yeah.
If you both attend, if you're attending the same event, you didn't.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that, Judith. Yes.
Yeah. When you're claiming expenses, where do they start from? 3 miles from here? Or do they start from here?
From your home to wherever you're going.
If you're going anywhere on council. So it's not attending meetings. So this isn't an expense to attend a meeting.
So if we just make it clear now, it's not for attending meetings. It's for travelling outside. Home.
So we'll make it explicit that it's not in order to attend the meetings that are held here or committee meetings that are held here. This is to attend any event that you've been requested to do so by the council. So for instance, I think one of the meetings is the Liverpool Airport Authority. Anyone that would be travelling to that representing would be able to claim travel expenses from their home address to wherever that particular meeting was being held and back to your home address. So we'll make that explicit, Frank.
So can I ask a question?
Yes.
If there is extra cost incurred for insurance purposes for me to do a meeting, let's say at Liverpool, because I'm on that committee, if there is extra cost, can we claim that back or not?
No, the 45p a mile more than covers petrol, so it's intended that that will cover any other incidental expenses. I can send out an advice note from the HMRC on that, if you like.
Yeah, I have seen that. I was just asking whether it can be quite a substantial amount, depending on what you've got.
Okay.
If you don't already have business use, it might be cheaper not to claim, because it does add a bit onto your policy to put business use on.
Sorry, I can't hear you on deck.
Sorry, it might be cheaper not to claim if you don't already have business use on your car, because it costs quite an extra amount to put that on there. I've just recently renewed mine and it costs quite a lot. Right.
My additional fee for me to put it on to travel on council business was £25 a year.
Yeah, it was quite a lot more than that for me. Yeah.
I don't know whether it would affect us because effectively it's voluntary.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Yeah,
for Joe, who's employed by the council, then it would be business. Mm-hmm. But for any of us here, we're volunteering. So it would be voluntary, and all insurance companies will accept that as each part and parcel of everyday use. Okay. So you wouldn't have to pay any extra on your premium. To attend something that was voluntary in the first place, otherwise.
Because when I was teaching the state sector, I got business use thrown in because it would only be a voluntary thing, like taking a sick child to hospital. So it would be nothing that was profiting me. So it depends what the nature of business is.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? No. So I'll move us on then. To agenda item number 12, which is some policies that require approval. So the following policies have been as recommended by the National Association of Local Councils. We now have the Document Retention and Disposal Scheme, Community Engagement Policy, and the Equality and Diversity Policy. Has everyone read through, seen those policies, or any?
There's a typo on.
It's been changed to fraction.
Eagle eyes. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we happy to approve all those policies? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they're all approved, Joe.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 13 is the artisan market. So this is an item to note. Discussions are continuing with Northern Markets to hold the artisan market on the last Saturday of every month. This will be starting from February 2024, in association with Independence Street. There is no cost to the council for holding those markets there. And hopefully, again, it will bring more vibrancy to our high street, enticing other businesses to get involved.
Can you just clarify who Independence Street are?
So Independence Street are an organisation that deliver artisan markets. They do one in Bury, they've got one in Warrington, I can't remember where else they've got.
I want to say Witness, but I'm not entirely sure.
They manage the whole thing.
Yeah, they manage everything. Who is it? What's similar company. Makers Market. They're a similar outfit.
Yeah, so they do all the organisation, manage all the market. We're hoping to attract between 50 and 60 stalls. I think some inquiries have been made as well from our local businesses about having pop-ups. So as part of the Ostend market, they provide two free stalls at every Ostend market, one of which can be used for a community group. So there's a community group that wants to kind of share what they do. Then they can have a stall or two stalls on each Ostend market. So again, something we want to promote, which is what goes on in our community, what community groups do we have. And they'll be given a free stall at each of the markets as well.
Will this one just go Main Street, is it?
At the moment, I think we need to kind of trial it, but at the moment it will be on Main Street. It could be that we may get feedback that we want to branch out elsewhere, but at the moment Main Street.
Spend in the parking.
Yes.
We have been with Cheshire West,
Residents that live on Main Street.
Yes, yes. But Cheshire West would need to be making that agreement with the residents for parking in a similar way to the Thursday markets. Yeah.
But I know Lisa is very keen up and running, and we were hoping to start this summer, but just with some hiccups with communication with Northern markets. But again, hopefully that will be an event that will bring footfall, a different footfall into Frodsham at a weekend. Agenda item number 14, this is about promoting Frodsham. So a report has been circulated, which is basically the form of a proposal. I don't know if everyone's managed to have a look. As I say, we spoke about it briefly in public speaking time. And I think that I get a sense from some of our councillors, some members of the public, that actually we're not promoting Frodsham enough. We know that there's, I think you made the suggestion, we've got lots of coffee shops, we've got lots of hairdressers, we've got lots of charity shops. How can we encourage more vibrancy into our high streets, into our green spaces? How do we promote that to residents so that they know what is around in Frodsham, what's going on, and also how do we promote ourselves to local businesses? We've got quite a few buildings that are currently still being used in Frodsham, so this is about kind of promoting what we do in Frodsham, what we've got to offer in Frodsham, and hopefully stop people from just using the A56 as a corridor to get to other places, making Frodsham more of a destination. So again, thinking about the Artisan Market, it's about doing things like that, but then promoting what we do as well. So it's the first real person we've spoken to, because they did something off their own back about Green Gate. So we have some dialogue and said, what other things might we be able to do? Yeah?
Can I just ask, because certainly this isn't anything that I've been aware of, when you say we talked to.
Sorry.
Who's talked to who?
Myself and Joan, in the first instance, approached Vicky and asked her to come and speak to us about promotion, the types of things that she does. I think she's been in the business for about 25 years now, with press as well. So the idea is, could she share something that which is a give us something as a flavour about what we might be able to do. So she kind of came up with this. We spoke to her about all of our green spaces. We spoke to her about our aspirations for Frodsham to be a destination, a place where people would want to come to visit, to use the high street, to use the facilities we've got. And again, to impart information to our residents and our businesses as well. So this is one of the ways, but there may be more, and there we've spoken about a newsletter, so it could be that we incorporate some of this into a newsletter as well. So it's basically a start of a 10 to have some dialogue, to say, do we want to make Frodsham a destination? What more could we do to promote, who we are, what we've got to offer? for residents, for businesses and visitors.
If I was spending £12,000 on a bike, road sweeper. I was looking at the video that you made on Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Green Gates one, which is you're promoting Fodger. Mm-hmm. The weeds are that long on Green Gates, the grass is that long. On her video now, mm-hmm. there's a big dent at the top of the slide, full of water. That, to me, that's not promoting Fodger at all.
Okay.
Because it's just like, oh, come here, it's a dump. And it is a dump at the moment.
Okay.
And that's why a lot of the residents are coming back to me. We've seen this, it's been online all week. Mm. And they're saying we should be using that money to improve Fodger. I'll make you a video for £5 and there's no problem, but it's just, yeah. I just don't think, if you went down onto the rock now, I know Mike's addressing it, putting that on the video screen is just going to turn people away. Mm. I don't know what your thoughts are, but. And then there's other issues of the promoting these businesses, but they're profiteering from that advertising. So say when they did the Bears Paw next week, the Bears Paw is going to generate profit from people visiting it, but the Queen's Head might have something to say about it because all their trade's going down there. That's yeah. They're my thoughts.
Okay.
And then she just got a handle.
Yeah. There isn't enough in that report for us to make any kind of decision on. Is it going to be a business? We don't give money to businesses. It's not our role as looking after the community to give money to businesses. I don't have any problems with us deciding we want to make a film to promote Frogham, as long as we're promoting our land assets and services, not businesses, and not Cheshire West's land assets and services. So it's all far too vague.
Okay.
And I think there is a bit of negativity on social media about. I think this is the sort of thing that we do need to have a community meeting about, you know, the starting point, not for us to go off like the sake that some councillors do nothing about this. So that's where I am at the moment.
No, that's great, thank you.
I was saying, Mike said before, there's a wealth of In the community itself, people with great ideas and that can put stuff forward. And I don't think a video, regular videos of Frogham will sell it, because if anything, it'll make people run. Because you say the high street itself, 4 banks, all closed. Oh, sorry, 1's a restaurant. Yeah. The high street itself is tired and tatty, and there's empty shops. And I think we could better use, as Judy said, maybe put it out to the community for them to come up with ideas of what they would like to see and how they would like to promote Frogham. I also find, again, anything on social media is going to cut out the vast majority of the older residents, because they don't do social media. And I know we've had nightmares before now with the newsletter for
Yes.
Exactly.
It's a major.
It is, you're right.
It is.
Nightmare.
Which is why we're thinking about, you know, all the other things.
Yeah, and just mentioned, and Joe will no doubt back me up on this, a few years ago, we used Frogham Life at discounted rates to do our consultations, Winter Britain Scheme, Christmas Festival, all of that.
Yeah.
But this council, four years ago, decided no, that was a waste of the council money. So we stopped using Project Life and they sold it. But the biggest thing they gave us that didn't cost us, it went through every letterbox in the town.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's a shame, because Project Life died and we should have kept it going. Because, and we know, don't be frank, on Waterside Ward, there's so many pensioners in those bungalows who don't have the internet.
Yeah.
And they like sitting reading that little magazine.
Okay.
Could we use Helsby to Hand? I know it's Helsby to Hand, but it goes everywhere in Frogham, doesn't it?
That's basically just
90%. Okay. I'm going to refer to just go down the investigating a leaflet or a pamphlet.
We did that,
put them in various different places in the village, like the doctor's surgery, the library, you know, all the main areas that people go to, or even shops.
Okay. I think that's going to reach more people than a video would do.
I think, oh sorry, Lucy.
Yeah, so I mean, with regards to video, I think there's value in it, but perhaps not as a recurring £1,000 monthly fee. I think perhaps if the council have completed a project that they would really like to showcase, so for example, when the memorial path was completed, there could be value in doing a video to promote the path and then sharing that on socials. If we did want to do a newsletter, I know that you can organise quite reasonable prices with the Royal Mail for a mail drop to be for a few hundred pounds, and it might be that we wanted to use video on an ad hoc basis and maybe a quarterly newsletter that could be delivered. But there are ways of getting those delivered. That doesn't mean that every councillor has to deliver to thousands of addresses, which is kind of difficult to coordinate. So I think there are ways we could do it, but maybe not quite there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vicky's videos that I've seen in the past are very professional, and they're also succinct, because nobody sits to watch a 10-minute video. So I think that's good. I do think that's an awful lot of money, though, for Frodsham Town Council to fork out. And yeah, we say like the Main Street looks, but you mentioned that the Bears Paws having that festival. Could there not be some? Could Vicky not perhaps approach them and sort of try and do a little video of what they had to offer? Mm-hmm. And if that's incorporated, it's like maybe it's something we could contribute towards some videos that feature businesses and Frodsham, so the businesses are contributing.
And ultimately we wanted to promote Frodsham Town Council's green spaces.
Yes. Yes.
And what's available in Frodsham, yes, not necessarily and businesses.
The, yeah, but so that would help. The big advantage of social media over leaflets is, first of all, if you want people in to spend money, hate to say older people don't have sort of money, I'm not saying you should be kept out of it, you want to go to the younger people with families. So social media is good for that. I think we need to do both. No, I'm not saying ignore paper things. And the other thing is you can spread them beyond. So if people in Frodsham might share that on their social media to people who don't live in Frodsham, they might go, oh yeah, I didn't know it was quite as nice as that, I'll come.
Exactly.
So I think there are advantages, but that is an awful lot of money.
Sounds like Mark.
To back you up, you've got to tidy Frodsham up.
Tidy up.
I urge you all to go for a walk past the taxi rank on a Sunday morning. There was 22 bottles. They've been urinating in the estate agent's door. There was somebody's letting them take plastic glasses. I mean, it's a, can't say plastic glasses because but from wherever, they're dumping on the floor, they're thrown everywhere, there's food from the Indian all over the floor. I urge you to go on a Sunday morning, it's horrendous. We need the village tidying up before you start to promote it.
Surely is that a Cheshire West?
Can I just come back on what Mark said then? Because he's made a very good point.
Yes, go on.
Frodsham is the second biggest nighttime economy outside of Chester. And the point that you make has been well received, because when we did the walk around in Frodsham, we've raised that point. And they're going to alter the shift patterns of the street cleaners from Thursday through to Sunday to accommodate for that increase in the nighttime economy, because you're quite right. And what they have said to me, because they raised about the big bins they've got, which crush the rubbish and take it down there. And what they've said, the drawback with those, if you get a pizza box put in that bin in the wrong way, it doesn't crush it, so it doesn't take anything. So you're quite right to raise that point. And this is what I was saying about raise the issues, because that way we can do it. But that issue about the rubbish left around because of the night, we want the nighttime economy. We want that to be good for our businesses, but we need to keep watching clean. And so that's been raised.
And also you're getting people in taxis coming in and going away with a opinion of what it is with Frodsham, and they've got to take a positive opinion away, not a negative one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
What is our primary objective? Is it for the people who live in Frodsham and pay the precept to us? Or is it about people who don't live here and you just want to attract them in?
I think it's both. It's about sharing what Frodsham has to offer with residents.
The residents
we know
actually
that,
want that. They might want to keep Frodsham to themselves.
They
and
might.
To have the night time economy people come in.
But well, the business is all just shut and then there won't be any Frodsham.
Well, I think that's part of that is we need to keep Frodsham vibrant.
Yeah.
And
but
if that means we have
know,
to attract
have
people
to
in.
The community, that not decide for them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, to make Frodsham a destination is parking.
Yeah.
The station car park is now empty. People won't pay to go on there.
I don't use it, but I mean,
especially when it's going to be like the afternoon market here, it's parking. If we're going to take Main Street, because that's restricted parking now, and because residential parking, Edinburgh Square is a bloody nightmare.
That's only 2 hours anyway.
Parking is an issue, and I know when you see the people coming in. I'll be going on the train to go out in the evening in Frodsham. And it's great that there's a vibrant nightlife, but it does need to be cleaned up after.
Yeah,
it should be. I mean, I'm still shocked to find bouncers on a front door in Frodsham, you know, it's like.
It's just to reinforce everyone's point. Because when I was in my glorious days at the garage, I was pleasantly surprised how many people came to Lady Hayes and who used Frodsham as a staging point for Delamere and for all the things in the area, and that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I also spoke to a lot of the bouncers, and they were telling me that Frodsham, just agree with Mike, it seems to be the central place from Ellesmere, Runcorn, Winsford, and we all can't go to Mornington and come to Frodsham. It's so busy overnight. It's really good for Frodsham. I mean,
Frodsham is handy for all these areas around here.
And the
but the trouble is, there's no police here. There is no police here from 10 o'clock onwards. I can tell you that. Nothing. And that's the problem here with all the trouble. I've sat here since 1976 and I can tell you, you'll never ever alter Frodsham. And since West Cheshire took over, it's gone a dump. Even Castle Park. Someone's got to say it. It wants saying proper and it wants doing.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Donna?
I forgot what was
going to say. You sat with me. You sat with me.
Helen, can we maybe settle the working group?
I was going to suggest. I think we need to start to understand what we want to do in terms of promoting Frodsham, and possibly that might be absolutely an agenda item for the away day. But again, we might do something in terms of consultation with the community to understand. But I think we need to do something.
Yeah.
But it's what that something is. But at least it's not talking about it, which is the main thing.
I went in Chester of an evening, especially when it's the horse racing was on. They do put a lot of poor to lose all the way through the main streets of Chester to kind of counteract that peeing up doors. But I mean, I don't want to see poor to lose anywhere. But the one public loo that there is locked at 6.
Okay.
And they're all waiting for taxis, aren't they?
Can I just go? Mike's talking about the big dustbin things. I was in Chester today, parked by the cathedral, and there's a man going round in his lovely little truck, and he was actually standing there washing their big bins. Not just emptying it, washing them. And we don't get that in Frodsham.
No, get nothing. Okay.
I'm going to take that agenda item then away. We'll probably come back to it in the away day. And then just have some decisions about maybe a smaller group of us just having some, you know, just broader thoughts, and then we can go to the community with something as well. Is that okay? Yeah, great. But I'm pleased we talked about it because it's, something we need to
consider. Can I just answer Judith very quickly? We've got a new guy in charge of street care in Frodsham who's come from Chester, so I'm hoping he cleans the bins, as you know, or arranges his team to clean the bins.
That's so amazing. I'll phone now and take a photograph of it.
I'll share his names, everyone, so you can all email him.
Okay, let's move it on then to item 15, which is the Queen to Speed Watch. So this is to consider and approve Cheshire West and Chester Council's Community Speed Watch Initiative and requirements. So we've had two residents that have expressed an interest in reinstating a community speed watch group in Frodsham using the speed guns that we purchased that is currently in the police station. But I know that the Cheshire West, if you go to it, do we need three volunteers?
We need three volunteers. Cheshire West would want to carry out training. It can only operate in areas that the police have approved as part of that scheme. There's a really good scheme already there that certainly for our insurance purposes we need to sign up to a formal scheme that's already in place. And that's
do we know if our PCSO is on board with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's also recommended that each time the speed gun goes out it gets returned to the police station.
Yeah.
And that would be helpful as well for insurance purposes.
No, I think it's a great idea. We can get the volunteers.
Taking
up
money off us, and we
okay.
don't see him.
So, obviously, Joe, if we've only got two volunteers, we can
put something on social.
Go ahead. So, if we can put some on socials and see if we can get some more. Brilliant.
As long as it's not very broken hours.
Okay. So we'll put a request out for additional volunteers and see if we can get that community speed watch group reinstated. Thank you. And finally, item 16 is Frodsham Town Council Away Day. This is not a formal meeting. It's a meeting, I suppose, for one thing is to get to know one another as well, to understand what our skills and qualities are that we bring to the council that we may not know about, that we could be utilising better perhaps. But it's also a meeting to discuss potentially what we need to put into place. So for instance, if we want to have any aspiration to get the quality award for local council group, then we need a 4-year programme of activities. So it's about kind of that initial discussion about what are our aspirations, what really makes a difference to people that live in Frodsham, what things that should we be considering as a council to make improvements to the services and availability of activities in Frodsham. So it's a real just it's a start for 10. I'll ensure that we get an agenda sent round well in advance of that. You can. So if anyone has any burning issues that they absolutely do want to talk about kind of outside of a formal committee, to start, to get us to think about what we might want to do, please do drop me a line, let me know. I can add that to the agenda. And Jo, you just want to share
Put out some dates, and I've got responses back from most of you for the dates. So I'm suggesting you go with the 5th of October, and for that we had Donna, Judith, Jason, Lucy, Bernie, Helen, Patrick, Richard, Pauline.
No, I didn't say that. I could do that one.
Did you not? Okay. No. But that was the one with the most people who were able to do it, so I would recommend we went with the most.
Okay.
What?
5th of the
10th. Where?
Here.
In
here. I'll probably see if I can go for the bigger room.
What time are we going to start?
6:30.
Okay.
No, I don't think I'll do that.
Okay.
5th of October. Okay. 6:30.
We're never going to get everyone to everything. Please, I'll get
you. We only do Thursdays. I've been looked to talk to the WLA about the refugees.
Oh, thank you. And we will extend that invitation to you as Cheshire and Chester councillors.
I'll circulate those.
I know I can't.
You can't.
Okay.
Okay.
It's
Thursday.
Great.
Okay, well,
thank you so much.
Can I ask a question then? Has every councillor responded to that?
No.
So isn't the idea that we're all together and we're all getting involved?
I can't make people respond to
me. No, I know you can't, but isn't this a golden opportunity? Is what I'm saying.
So, Mark, Wellen and Frank. Other people I haven't heard from.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Thank you.
If you said that it was biscuits,
we'd have all been there. It's going to be
food. That is great. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We've held two of them now, and they've both been really well received. And we've actually managed to get a programme, at least a 12-month programme, out and get items that we want to discuss you know, talked about, so that's brilliant. I look forward to that. Agenda item 17, Shell Clark's report. Jo, anything?
Just really briefly, 28th, the not reading marshals, marshlands is going to be treated again. Cheshire Association of Local Councils have put out a request for people to put themselves forward as board members. I've sent information on that today. And the Green Gates application for Fields and Trust is proceeding. They've changed their ground rules a little bit, and now they want 360-degree photographs of the area, every piece of equipment, all the paths. So that's a work in progress, but it's ongoing.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Jo. Great. And at that, we'll close today's meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation.